Glory to God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, it's found there, Jesus said, I will build my church. And you know how he's building it is really interesting, because it really, he's not looking at the outside whether we have hair or no hair. He's not looking at us whether we have a suit or no suit. He's not looking at us whether we have a tie or no tie. He's not looking at us whether we got nice pants or jeans. He's not looking at our clothes. Jesus said, I will build my church. And it's a wonderful day to be a part of the building program of the Lord. And by the way, God has a plan for his church. He's always had a plan for his church. In fact, he had the plan in Jesus before the very foundation of the world. In fact, the lamb was slain. The Bible says the lamb was slain before the very foundation of the earth. So that's a long time for God to be in with having a plan. But God has also seen to it that his purpose was going to be fulfilled, and that plan would be fulfilled. And by the way, he instilled in the earth the power tools to get it done. That's okay. I would say praise the Lord on that one too. Glory to God. And he put within us the power tools to get it done. Some people think that mission, that vision and mission are the same. But I would say it like this. Vision is the what and mission is the how. And the gifts of the Spirit were given so that we would be able to know what God is doing, what God is up to in this day and hour. I know, I get it. It's really hard to serve a God that we cannot see. But Jesus said that God is a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him in how? In spirit and in truth. How do you sing, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his, I don't see him. Every now and again, I have the young people and they'll say, how do you know God exists? Well, I just talked to him this morning. That's how I know he exists. The fact is, he talks to me. He walks with me and talks to me. And he tells me how special I am. Oh yes, how special you are too. Everybody has their place. Everybody has their purpose. But I do know without a vision, in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, do I happen to have my four volunteers? Glory to God. There, we got something going on. Okay. We there? Yes, we are. Praise God. Every car, in order for a car to function the way that it's supposed to function, the car doesn't go anywhere unless there's people in it. That's why we could have this model of car, and just because it's a nice looking car, we still have to have people in it for that thing to be mobile. You have to have a driver, somebody that's going to steer it, and it's awful nice when you're going on a long trip to have people in the vehicle with you. Now, the driver side, we're not in England, so we're good. our driver is, his position is that of relationship. You got to have relationship if the vision is going to go anywhere, you see. And in Brother Gerald, he's sitting in the passenger seat, and that's worship.
Yeah, but I want to drive.
Well, brother, I know there's a big struggle in the church for everybody to be the driver. And let me say, it's not always good. Well, what happens is there becomes friction in the relationship area, because everybody... There's, especially in some facilities, everybody wants to sing. I was in a church that anybody and everybody that wanted to sing could sing. And it was really interesting, whether they could really sing or not. They really wanted to be in the church. They wanted to be, some of them, they just wanted to be seen and all kinds of things. But I'll tell you, the kind of worship God is looking for is when it comes from the heart. That's authentic worship. You can have somebody that doesn't really sing all that well, but they have the anointing of God on their life. Because they just have that connection with God, and when they sing, it might sound like that it's coming from a can. But I've got to tell you, when that anointing, we sang about the anointing, there's something about the anointing that breaks and destroys all the yoke. And you may not understand it. It's like we were playing a music video in the youth center. And it was really fascinating to me, because there is a population of young people, they have their own service, and then there's a population of women, and they have their own service. And we happened to be with the women. And we played this particular song. In fact, I believe a few weeks ago, we played the same song. And these women are just, they just start to cry. They're just weeping. Tears are just flowing from their face. And after it's all done, I said, you're probably wondering why it is that you're crying. And one young lady, before I could get it out of my mouth, she says, it's the presence of Jesus. Oh, I said, you must know his presence then. Yeah, she says, I grew up in church and got away from it. Something happened in church and she got away and got hurt and the whole thing. And anyway, she knew the presence of God. In fact, she grew up in a Pentecostal assembly. I went, oh. And another young lady says, yeah, I was in that kind of environment too. And I went, wow. Oh my, something happened in the relationship. If there is friction, if there is contention, if there is envy, if there is strife, if there is confusion, you've got everything. And do you think that we're going to have authentic worship with that kind of strife? It's really difficult. Except for those that whose heart is pure, sometimes you can have a breakthrough. In the back seat, my wife is not sitting in the administration. Last week she was in the administration, but our sister, she's you did, but that's okay. She's the administrator. See, out of relationship flows worship. Out of administration flows program. And sometimes those get shifted around. They get shifted around. What happens, it usually happens that administration tries to take the driver's seat. And whenever you have there are wonderful administrators, okay? But some administrators don't know about the relationship that's necessary to make this thing function. See, Jesus said it like this: by this will all men know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. Now this is serious. This is serious, serious, serious. Because if all men know Jesus by our love for one another, what happens in the opposite? Where there is contention and when there is strife. People know that too. You see. And we become an obstacle sometimes to people finding Jesus because of the stuff. I've had people say to me in prison and out of prison, they'd say, well, I don't want to go to church because of all those hypocrites. Well, they may not necessarily be hypocrites. Sometimes they just are on a wrong pathway that makes it really hard for people to come to Christ, because there is that barrier there. Dear Lord. So we have to have relationship. And when you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, and you love your neighbor as yourself, there is such authentic worship that takes place, that when you play the strings, where you strum the instrument, where you place your hands on a keyboard, or when you open up your soul and let it sing, your soul is free. Your spirit is free to worship God in spirit and in truth. There's no blockages. There's no... But let's face it. Stuff happens. Somebody likes country and western. Some of the younger folks. Some of the younger folks like it a little rocky. You see? And sometimes because of our likes and our dislikes, there becomes such turmoil in this relationship that the turmoil affects the worship, because we have all these likes and dislikes and pulling and pushing. Oh, Lord. So it's in this area. In fact, I was going to go on, because we've been talking, last week we talked about the atmosphere of relationship. And I felt the Lord said, I want you to stay there this week, because I have something further I want to share with you regarding relationship. The next atmosphere that we were going to be talking about was intercession. We talked a little bit about it, but we've only scratched the surface with intercession. But I felt in this area of relationship it was necessary. You know, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together. It doesn't say in disunity. King James uses the word in unity. And the NLT uses the word in harmony. For harmony is precious. Now, when I think of something precious, it's a great word. If I had a motorhome, which I don't, but if I had a motorhome, now my wife likes to drive, and I don't feel like I am the only one that can drive. She's a very good driver. Okay. Now, a motorhome's quite a lot larger. And many times I say, man, some of those folks that use the, or are driving a motorhome, they ought to have a special license for that thing, because some of them do not know how to back it up. They don't know how to, to make the turns properly and those kinds of things. But if I had a motorhome and my wife said, let me drive for a little while, and we're almost home, and I say, very good, very good, very good, you can drive. And as I say, she's a good driver, but we get home and it has to be backed in the driveway, and she would say, I'll back it in. I'm good. I can back it in. Okay. She's awful big, dear. She's awful big. Anyway, she starts to back it up, and she backed it up right into the garage door. Oh, dear. Now, what am I going to do? Because now I have a motorhome that's damaged. And I have, now my house doesn't have a garage door, we have a carport. But if I had a garage door, that garage door is all damaged now. Oh, dear Lord. I can just imagine. Oh, dear. What am I going to do with that door? It's been damaged and wrecked. And the more I get dwelling on that, then the value of the door and the value of the motorhomes becomes more than the value of my wife. You see, sometimes we don't hold to very high esteem those that are around us. You see, in relationship, you have got to see the value of those people around you. In fact, many times we're looking at the outside, okay? God sees the inside, okay? We judge according to outward appearance. God deals with the heart. And I would submit to you this, that it is more valuable for us to see one another according to our giftings, not our looks, okay? How easy it is to look at people when they come to church and maybe somebody, they don't want to raise their hands. So immediately we go, oh dear, they can't be in a good place with God today because they just haven't raised their hands. You see? Well, I don't know. I kind of think that this Christian life is about my first responsibilities between me and God. Okay. And if it's not my garden, I want to stay out of that garden because I'll mess up their garden. I'm not a very good gardener. I'm best to stay in my own lane, in my own garden, and allow them the personal time with God. However, what happens is worship, when we come together, is a corporate thing. And our anointings, our giftings are blended together. This is why it's important to come before the Lord, knowing that He is God. You have a relationship with Him. He has bought you with a price. Glory to God. He has adopted you into the family. And He has allowed you the privilege and the responsibility of being in that automobile, the vision, because this car is not just going nowhere. It's going to the place where God has directed. Now, if God will direct the steps of a man, He will direct the course of a congregation. If God will direct a man, and if God will direct a leader, He will see to it that those people are looked after. Moses, God saw to it that he was went through the proper process to become the leader for Israel. Glory to God. But God did not leave the children of Israel in bondage. He heard them crying out for 400 years. If that's not a long stay to be without a leader, and to be suffering, and to be working and toiling. And God saw to it that they had a leader. But God has a purpose in that. I don't know why it took Moses 40 years in the wilderness to get through his stuff. He wasn't a very good fellow, by the way. He murdered a guy. What kind of a leader is that? Dear me. He didn't even want to go to the people. He says, God, I can't go. I'm slow of speech. I can't lead these people. Oh, God says, no problem. You got your brother Aaron there. He'll help you out. But you see the relationship that Moses began to grow in God. He had a process for Moses. He has a, by the way, is a process for this congregation too, by the way. And delay, your delay does not necessarily mean denied. God loves you, and He absolutely cares for you. And by the way, He's very considerate for your needs and cares and wants. But we have to keep this relationship part going. It has to be right in His sight. David was a man after God's own heart. I got to get back to my notes because I know I'm going on rabbit trails that are all good. So we have relationship, and by the way, relationship takes time. This is not a quick and easy, instantaneous deal. I remember when we were here, a year and a half or so ago, I don't know if it's 2 years yet, but somebody asked me, they said, so in all of your community work, does that add to the church? And at the time I said, well, no. And then I got away from here and the Lord said, what'd you say that for? And I said, well, I know I was asked more than once, why do you do what you do in the community? Well, first of all, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify God. We'd always been building and taking time to build relationships, but there was one fellow, I used to go to the farmer's market, and I still go to the farmer's market once in a while, but we were going with a group of men, and we were friends. They never went to our church. The one fellow used to go to our church that we were pastoring, and stuff happened there, but we kept the conversation and the communication open, and we would go oftentimes to the market. And one day, one of the guys said, Brother Ron, what would you do if I come to your church? Well, I said, I would do what I do with other people. I'd shake your hands and say, God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. You mean I always be as welcome as the next guy? I said, yes, sir. Well, that following Sunday, he ends up coming to church. And I know very well, to me, it's not all about church. It's about the kingdom of God. And I'm aware of this, so I don't preach at them. When I'm in the youth center, I don't always preach. Sometimes I'm just there to let my light shine and to speak a word here and there when I'm prompted. And this particular case was really fascinating because this guy, Bob, he brings his guitar. And he said to me, can I play along with you? I said, no, Bob, not today. Well, he said, I brought my guitar because I figured you'd let me play. I said, well, Bob, I said, you don't know what we do. You've never been here before. And I said, you're welcome just to come in and enjoy the service and you can see what it is we do. Oh, he said, I can do that. So he left his guitar. He came in and enjoyed the service. And the next thing I know, the following week, he comes back out. Bob comes back out the following Sunday. Now, you remember, he doesn't know Jesus. So he brings his guitar with him, and he said, Ron, can I play this week? And I said, well, you've only come once, Bob. You really don't know what it is that we are all about yet. You've been new to this thing, so why don't we meet you on Friday, and we'll do some stuff together. Okay, he said, we can do that. So the following Friday, he brings his guitar, and we meet, and we make some music, and it's nice and everything. So he says, can I play on Sunday? Now, you got to remember, this guy is, at this point, he's in his, well, in his 60s, I think, anyway. And he's a fellow that played rock and roll. He always played rock and roll at the rock and roll festivals in the Miramichi, and good guitar player, really, really good guitar player. In fact, he used to play with one of the guys that's gone on to be with the Lord now, who is also a big rock and roller, and they made music together. So anyway, Bob says, so can I bring my guitar on Sunday and can we play with you? I said, sure, Bob. Now remember, he doesn't know Jesus. It's more about relationship, okay, than it is worship at this point. Does it make sense? No. Would I, is it something I normally do? No. Why would I have somebody that doesn't know Jesus on the platform? I don't know. I just had a prompting. That's all I can tell you. It didn't make a lick of sense to me, but I was building a relationship, see. Well, we get done the service, and this man, Bob, says to me, he says, what was that? I said, what was what, Bob? I said, there was something here I've never felt before. He said, I've never played like this in all of my life. Have I ever played anything like this? And I went, well, Bob, what you've experienced is the presence of God. And God was letting you know that he loves you. He loves us all and wants us all to worship him. And what you've experienced is using your talents to bring honor and glory to Jesus. Well, Bob told me this much later. In fact, probably just over a year, he actually left us and went down to Florida for a little while. He got married to found a Philippine woman and got married and had a child down there and got a part of a Presbyterian church down there and got playing music down there. And then Bob comes back to us. And Bob says, Ron, can I bring my guitar? Can I play? And I said, Bob, why don't we meet on Friday? See, the relationship is more than my concern for worship. I grew up in a church where you did not get on the platform without knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You have to understand, that's how I grew up. So for me, this was a big deal. Okay. So we met on that following Friday. And we start to play, and I stopped, and he stopped, and he said, what's going on? I said, I got something to ask you. I said, Bob, why do you want to play with us anyway? Well, he says, it's like this. I went down there, and he said, I found my wife. We have a child. But even more, he says, I found Jesus. You know that day we played, that first time I played with you, and I said, yeah. He says, I never played rock and roll again. Had we made it all about the music and all about the worship and our stance and our rules, I believe I'd have lost Bob. But he came to know Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. He's still going to the church there in Miramichi. Even more, his wife is connected, because of being Filipino, is connected with other Philippine families. They've got several Filipino families that are in the church today. You see, relationship is so very, very important. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. Now, in this atmosphere of relationship, many times it will start out with an act of kindness. Sometimes we think we got to do something spectacular. You know, never forget another little story. You know how people, when they go to church, they go through all kinds of different stuff. Well, one day we were driving to church. I had the kids in the back, and Shannon's in the passenger seat, and I'm driving away, and I'm coming up to the mill that there is there in the Miramichi, and this car cuts me off. I beat my horn. And the woman gave me a finger. Not the pointer finger either. Okay. I went, oh dear, because I recognized who she was. She went to our church. I went, oh dear, she must have had a bad day. She did not recognize who I was right away. Now, I didn't get up in church and give her a raking for giving me the finger. You know, I just happened to mention, it just came out. I said, you know, sometimes we just have a bad day. And sometimes we do things because we are angered. And it can be a finger, it can be a horn, it can be anything. I wasn't angry at the woman that cut me off. I just wanted her to know that she cut me off. And I certainly didn't want to hurt her. But sometimes people, they go to church and stuff happens. We don't know what the stuff that kids, you know, participate in. And they sometimes, especially with small children, it's quite a lot of work to get small kids into the house of God. But we want to rush the process. Many times. Never forget, we had two ministerials in Miramichi. There's Chatham side and there's Newcastle. And Chatham side, they had a small ministerial, and I happened to be the chairman at the time for the ministerial. And I got a telephone call from the folks that were in the ministerial in Chatham. They were wanting to partition the city hall to be able to pray before their council meetings. And they wanted to know if we would stand with them to be able to pray at council. And I said, no. They were flabbergasted. They said, well, why would you say no? Don't you like to pray? I said, yes, I believe in prayer. I believe prayer is effective. But I don't think we've established at that time, we had not established a relationship. See, the relationship was important. We hadn't established the relationship for them to allow us to come into their space. And they were totally fried. I mean, we can't believe that you as a minister would not want this. Well, at that time, we hadn't built the relationship with the city council to have that experience. Plus the fact, in the last, I don't know, 20 years maybe, I've had so many opportunities to pray at council chambers. I've had meetings sitting in the mayor's chair, being able to pray for them. We gave them Bibles to help so that they could have a source of of hope and community in their own lives, so they might be able to find God. But we were concerned about the relationship that we had with the council. We want this thing quick. We all like furniture. Some of us have in our homes, fast-made furniture. Some of it is made by and manufactured by robots and all kinds of stuff because we like it fast. We like fast food. We like all kinds of things that are, we want them quick. And we want this relationship deal to hurry up and get going. But relationship takes time. It is a process. I needed the time to process, to go through and walk through the various doors that God would have us lead us into to be able to open the way, to open the way so that we would be able to minister to our counselors and our mayor. We needed the opportunity and the process to work with Bob so that Bob would find Jesus. See, David was anointed as king when he was 17 years old. But then King David, he goes back into the pasture for the process. He actually did not become king till later on in his 30s. That's a long time. So we've already spoke about Moses, but now David, it was the same thing. Paul, the apostle, was 15 years, with other believers before he was actually put in place of ministry, you see. Well, we want, as I say, to rush the process. We look at somebody's outside, and we don't realize sometimes that we're messed up inside, and that we need doctoring in the spirit, let alone other people. Glory to God. I have an interesting verse found in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, just don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And it says, take delight. Romans 12, 10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight, listen to this, in honoring one another. Honoring one another. King James says it like this, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honoring and preferring one another. There was a dear sister that came to me last week, and she said to me, Pastor Ron, we have pastor's parking. I've noticed you haven't parked in the pastor's parking. And I said, yes, that's right. I said, I've noticed you've had that pastor's parking. Do you know why I don't park it there? I park there because, I made mention of this to her because it's not the first time I've been had the remark. In any business that people have, whether they own the business or they are managers in the business, they're not the first ones that have a vehicle right by the front door. They park their vehicle away. I don't necessarily feel that I need to go to the farthest space in the parking lot because I carry in equipment. But I believe that there is a place for honoring first-time visitors as an example. I think there should be a space for first-time visitors and a space for mothers with small babies as an example. You see. And maybe she had not heard that kind of a philosophy before, but Jesus did not come to be served. He came to serve. You see. In honoring and preferring one another. Honoring and preferring. Sometimes in our honoring and preferring, I'll never forget, one fellow said, I'd prefer that you do it because I really don't want to do that job. Well, there's a story that is told by about four people. The story about four people goes like this. They are named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. Now, there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job, and everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. In honoring and preferring one another, sometimes stuff doesn't get done. And sometimes, in this case, they got angry because they didn't realize this relationship deal is important. In fact, the Bible says it like this: if you say you love God and you hate your brother, the Bible says the truth is not in you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 and also verse 17, it says, "For this is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Verse 17 says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." James chapter 4 says, "Don't speak evil against one another, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not judge it, whether it applies to you." Verse 12 says, "God alone who gave the law is judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge other people?" Jesus in John chapter 13, and I'll read this again, verse 34 says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Now, if you don't mind, I've got a few moments left. I need a husband and wife, a husband and wife team that will help me. Somebody, quick. Wonderful. I'll use you two guys, if you don't mind. You can come right over here. Glory to God. Yes, can you help me? Gerald, you too? Right down here. Now I have with me, these are well-used tools. Brother, I'm going to give you this one, okay, if you don't mind. And I'm going to give Don, if you don't mind taking that. Now, these are well-used tools. Now, they probably know how to use these things, but those boards, I would like you to hit those boards if you want to put them on the floor, which is better. It doesn't matter to me. But those boards, I would like you guys to hit those boards like they were the devil. Glory. Now, you see, the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he tries to trick us and trap us in all kinds of things. In fact, he came after Jesus. He wanted Jesus to worship him and bow down and to turn rocks into bread and all kinds of things. But the word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I found a verse in the Bible that says in Jeremiah that his word was like a mighty hammer that smashes rocks into pieces. Now, you guys, you hammered that thing like it was the devil. Now, what I'd like you to do, I'd like you, Gerald, you can put your hand on that board, and you, sister, can put your hand on that board. Now,
if he didn't like him, he'd probably want to trade hammers.
Well, here's the deal. Now they're going to take their hammer and do exactly the same thing. I sense that there's a hesitation here.
I'm scared of him. He's actually the problem.
Well, you know, your hand is there, but they're not beating it. But you know that our words are like a hammer too. Have you ever heard the word, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you? But do you know that these hammers, whether it's a small one or a big one, are hurtful? And they do hurt, and they go deep. And the words that we speak to one another will destroy our worship. There will not be any administration. And administration will not flow into programs that will help the body. Oh, I would feel so bad if you would hurt your brother and sister. But I'll tell you what happens. We do exactly the same thing when we speak unkindness, when we are to show love to one another. I know you don't want to hurt one another, but sometimes somebody will hurt us. And because we've been hurt, you see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We can be hurt. We don't mean to hurt. We don't want to swing the hammer and hit and wound our brothers and sisters. Oh, friends, I got to tell you, it happens. It's happened throughout the years. And the heart of Jesus is saddened. But the nice thing is that we can find forgiveness. In fact, he's already forgiven us. He desires to mend the relationship. And he desires for us to lay down the hammer. To lay down the hammer. Because he doesn't want us to hurt our brothers and sisters. And he desires that we pray for them. That we help them to grow in faith. That we become concerned about the relationship with God. Because actually when we do kindness, whether it's giving water, thank you, folks. Whether it's giving water to other people. In fact, Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, it's just a noise. In our time together in church is meaningless. We of necessity need to turn our attention to seeking the Lord with all of our heart, leaning not to our own understanding, and in all of our ways acknowledge him. Because to be honest with you, in our relationships, we need the presence and the power of Almighty God to help us build. And there are things that we would need to do that we would build the relationships so that we can have authentic worship. And that relationship can help and increase and instill administration. And in that outreach, you see, we need outreach, but that administration will flow into program. It's not just a loosey-goosey program, but it's a program that is instilled with the love of God and the love for one another to the place whereby this will all men know that we are his disciples. See, folks and friends, it is not about our preferences. Whether I like or don't like. It's about how I honor my fellow brothers and sisters, regardless of their age. Okay? The small ones, the young people, and the child, those that are in childbearing years and those that are past. I'll say it like that. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you. And I praise you and give you honor and glory. For there is none like you in all the earth. I thank you for your anointing and for your Holy Spirit that's here. And I just ask, Father, that you would, by your word, which is like a hammer, that you would hammer away at our thoughts, hammer away at the very thoughts and intentions of our heart. You would open our heart. You would do heart surgery. That, Lord, we would turn to you, and so that we can be healed, so that we can bring healing and restoration to those that are around us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.